Yep. I do anyway. Take one. We're on. All right. Thank you, Scott. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's January 29th. Yep, approximately a little after 9 o'clock. We're meeting in a work session today to talk through involving case number PU1259. Basically, it's a request for a reconsideration of a ADP application that the commission voted on December 21st of 2012. It's in my portfolio, but before I would give my thoughts on it, basically see if Commissioner Christman or Fedorchuk has any opening comments.
Mr. Chairman, I have no thoughts at this time.
All right, thanks, Randy.
No comments from me either, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Julie. Basically, I'm trying to think of the best way to do this. Maybe, I guess, what we don't really have any staff memos prepared because I think we've advocacy staff from the rate or from the proceeding, I think, is waiting to see how this all plays itself out. We've got a pending rate case with Xcel. I think that, from my viewpoint, this is tied into that. So I guess what I'd like to do is just give out my thoughts and then let staff, if you had any additions or corrections that you have that I've missed, and they'll get into discussion. The point of the work session is that for the commissioners to really talk with staff about what our thoughts on this are. So typically we don't solicit information from others around here, so that's kind of the way it's set up. I guess my viewpoint is back in December of 2012, the commission at that time was myself, Commissioner Fetch, and Commissioner Kramer. Heard a case on advanced determination of prudence on a Geronimo wind farm. Basically, the long and short of it was is that Xcel Energy, NSP, had entered into an agreement with this group to buy this wind power. And they came in front of us to ask for an advanced determination of prudence after the fact. They had already entered into the agreement. I didn't see it as an ADP case by any means because it already made the decision to enter into the agreement before it ever got to the commission. But one of the things in the previous rate case was that Xcel Energy NSP was directed to come in front of the commission to ask for ADPs before they went into acquiring resource generation. And so the point of it was is that to me it was pretty clear they didn't come in front of the commission in a timely manner. So the recommendation that we're working on is that basically the commission ordered advanced determination of prudence for its purchase power agreement with Geronimo Wind, LLC, dismissed with prejudice. And so that's kind of where we're at. But towards the end of the, before we got to a final vote, Commissioner Kramer recommended that we add an sentence in there that says, we had further proceedings to establish a record regarding the appropriate rate-making treatment for the cost of the purchase power agreement with Geronimo Wind, LLC, take place. And so I believe, this is where you guys can correct me a little bit, that becomes the point of the request for clarification. They're concerned with one sentence in finding a fact 10 of the December 21st, 2012 order. So the scope of this is very limited. They're not asking us to reconsider the whole ADP, but just part of it. And so that's the way I understand it. I guess my viewpoint is that there's a letter that we received from Xcel Energy basically making sure we understood what it was we did by our motion, and I clearly understood what I did by the motion was I didn't want to set a stage where they start billing customers for any cost of this until we got through the rate case. So I don't really have any desire to change anything because I wanted to go through this in the rate case. So that's kind of where I'm at the setup. This is where I would turn it over to whoever wants to from staff to clean up what I missed. Jerry's raising his hand.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit. I thought first I'd just explain the fuel cost adjustment a little bit for everybody.
Which is the mechanism that they flow through the...
Yeah, they flow through their fuel costs that way, so they get a dollar-for-dollar recovery on their costs that they spend for fuel in their generating plants and for the energy that they purchase for purchased power. They don't have any capital costs going in there. If they or demand-related costs. So if they have a demand charge with a purchase power contract, that has to be recovered in base rates. This is just for the energy component of it. And the way the calculation works is there's a four-month running average of the costs per kilowatt hour that they spend on their fuel costs. And so that average then plus another component, which is a true-up adjustment, an over-under recovery adjustment. Those two things are the are what's added to the bill on a per kilowatt-hour basis. So this project went in to service, I think, the 1st of January or the end of December, something like that. But so as we're coming here now, we would be running October, November, December, January as our 4 months average in the fuel cost adjustment. In January, there would be a volume and a price for this purchase, along with all their other volumes and prices, to come up with an average. So you'd have 3 months worth of average before the thing went in, and 1 month of average with the Geronimo costs included and the Geronimo volumes. So what the order does is tell them to not recover the Geronimo costs. The question then is, what's excluded?
Until possibly later.
Yeah. The question then is how to treat this in the fuel cost adjustment. What's excluded? Do we pretend that the transaction never occurred and just exclude all of those volumes and those costs from the fuel cost adjustment?
For now.
So if we do...
Could you back up one time and restate the four-month deal again? When did Geronimo come on board?
The end of last year. They were trying to beat the production tax credit requirement, and that was due to expire at the end of the year, and it's been since extended. But, yeah, that's what it was all about.
Okay, and so the four-month... explain the formula one more time on how you would do the fuel cost recovery.
You would add all of the volumes for 4 months that you sold, all your sales, and then you would take the cost for each of those volumes that you spent over that 4 months, and then you just divide the total cost by the total volume to get a cost per kilowatt hour, and that would be an average of the 4 months. And then that is presumed to be what you're going to spend. It skips a month. And so that after that lag, that would be what you're presuming you're going to spend. And then there's an adjustment that trues it up, that looks back and sees what you actually spent, and that adjustment runs every month, too, to keep it going.
When would you normally get that filing? That would include a portion of the Geronimo cost.
We would get the filing in February here that would have the March adjustment in it.
But I think it loses sight of the ball. I don't want them to bill this cost until we go through the rate case.
So if we... If
that was a clear... All right. Let's let our attorney talk a little bit here.
Question two.
Question two.
I think it might be what Jerry's talking about. But question one is, does the commission want to reconsider the sentence in finding 10? You don't have to know what you're going to do with that sentence. You don't have to know how you should change it or leave it or whatever. The question is, do you want to reconsider it? Yes or no. If you say no, that's the end of that, and then staff goes back and figures out what can they have in the fuel adjustment, whatever. Well, Jerry is getting into things to be thinking about if you reconsider, I think, or things to be thinking about in other proceedings, the first fuel adjustment that comes in, if it's included, or the rate case, or the fuel adjustments after you figure out the rate case. But the question, you need to...
Don't try the case today.
Right. I mean, I want to be sure you don't get into the merits unless you really want to say to yourself, I want to reconsider.
Is the sentence under consideration the one that says that will require a thorough record be developed?
That's the one they raise. They raise the finding 10. They don't raise the ordering clause. They raise finding 10 on page 3. Mm-hmm. In addition, the record developed at the hearing and the briefs raises substantial questions about whether the costs should be paid by ratepayers, fuel adjustment otherwise, and if so, if any, how much? Okay, Consequently, the commission will require a thorough record be developed before any costs are recovered. So that sentence is saying we have a question about rates, we're not getting into rate recovery, and we want a thorough record before any are recovered, paid by people.
That's what we ordered.
Recovered is paid by people. Yeah. And then the ordering clause says go have a further proceeding to do that.
Which could be a rate case or something else.
Or a PPA or something else, yes.
And so what I'm doing here is explaining to you why you should consider reconsidering.
Oh, yeah, okay. So he's, okay. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. So getting back to where I was at, if you exclude both the cost and the volume and say the transaction never happened, then the average is going to cruise along like it would without those in there, and you're not going to have too much effect, but it will be a little bit less. Your other option is to say we'll leave the volumes alone, or the company's other thing they could do here is, and we'll exclude the costs. So that way the volumes are what they were, in which case the fuel cost adjustment is going to go down quite a bit because it's going to see a portion of free energy coming to the consumers. And this last issue here on the free energy.
You call it free energy, Jerry. It's just don't like words like that thrown around.
Okay, well, the
it's
last.
Free energy. It's energy, but maybe there's lower cost energy. That's the point of we're not going to try this now.
So the last thing that I just said was instead of free energy, we'll say energy at no cost going to the consumer.
Okay.
Because it's not included in there.
The volume would have been included in the calculation, but no cost, so there would be effectively a zero cost on that. Now, this is what the settlement was about between the parties. They said if that was the way this was going to go, that they would accept the LMP price. The MISO, remember we did the MISO thing, and they calculate an LMP price every 5 minutes?
What does LMP stand for?
Local marginal price.
Okay. Locational marginal price.
Locational marginal price. So they were going to substitute that, which is if they had bought that energy from MISO and put it in their mix, that's what they would have paid for it. So that was the deal.
Which the commission rejected.
No, the commission's not.
We didn't make a decision on it. That's right.
No, it was filed in the case, but the commission didn't act on it or do anything.
We didn't reject it. We just didn't act on it.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't consider.
No,
right.
It was between the parties. No, well, it was filed in the case, but
on this.
It's part of the record, like a brief is.
Was it an exhibit at the hearing? I don't remember.
No, it was after.
Okay.
It's a promise between the parties that the commission did not consider, approve, deny, or do anything else with it.
Can you tell me what that settlement is that you're referring to? Which settlement?
What it means is if they would argue in a previous case and staff would agree that they would use that MISO LMP price in this adjustment instead of the Geronimo Wind actual purchase price. And so that would be like a proxy for it. And that was their settlement.
Are you talking about the last rate case settlement, Jerry? Is that the
settlement? No,
this case,
ADP
the document before
settlement
the order.
Between the parties that they filed.
But there was no settlement that made it to the commission. It was all between staff and the company.
We didn't feel a need to act on that settlement.
I think the commission was very clear they were not going to approve any kind of settlement.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of variables here at play.
No, exactly. The commission's not bound on anything with that settlement. This is just that the parties have agreed between them that's what they'd argue. And I'm just mentioning it for your information to tie it back into the settlement here. I haven't seen the calculations, but I've understood that a difference between the Geronimo Wind and the LMP thing would work out to be probably less than a penny a month per typical customer. So it's not a big impact. issue.
It doesn't compare it to a coal or a natural gas or anything else.
Whatever the LMP is.
Oh, sure, whatever's coming out of MISO.
Yeah, sometimes it's coal, sometimes it's gas. It depends on whether they're on peak, and it's been coal lately. So that is kind of where we're at. If you don't reconsider, it appears to me that we're going to have money that could be recovered later in the fuel cost adjustment if you decide that they, in the rate case, that they get that recovery. And at that point, you're going to cause an increase in the rates if that was your decision. On the other hand, if you decide not to allow the recovery later, and you do let them collect it now, subject to the refund and through the fuel cost adjustment, at that point the customers will get a decrease in their rates.
And there would be a third option too, that we don't give it to them now, we don't give it to them later. So, I mean, that's the point of, I don't like getting argumentative back and forth, Jerry, because you got good points, but I still don't see an argument that says to convince me why we should go back to what we did before, because it hasn't, nothing's changed from what we did then to what I hear now.
Well, I think
my argument is that if you apply the fuel cost adjustments to the purchases and the thing just flows like it normally would, everything is easier.
Easier doesn't mean it's what's right for the
from an accounting perspective.
Right, but that doesn't
mean
it's
right. And you don't
right.
have to, you don't get the fuel cost adjustment screwed up. And
Alana's itching
to
talk.
Jerry, here. I mean, it's a great conversation, but it is the conversation. It's part of the conversation of the further proceedings required by, and we are not having an evidentiary proceeding now, which it's getting into evidentiary proceeding. It truly is a good example of all of the kinds of things that you will be discussing and staff and the company will be working through in the further proceedings to determine whether they get anything, how much, and when. But the question today is whether you want to reconsider the line in 10. And I think from the company's two filings, they had two letters on this, the companies are, I don't know that they're saying the sentences definitely means this. I think they're saying we're worried that it might mean that we're going to lose recovery of the costs from day one until the day it's figured out. And they offer two ways of coping with that. Let us have it and give it back later, which is where Jerry's going with the it'll be a reduction, or let us defer and get it later if we deserve anything.
It wasn't all this part of if they'd have come in front of the commission long before this in an ADP the way they were supposed to, we wouldn't even be here.
Yes.
If this had been an ADP a year before they entered into the agreement, these things would have got worked out.
Right. And those are legitimate questions, and they're questions that are in rate cases.
Absolutely.
Every day about all kinds of investments, all the time. Companies come in here and ask for deferred accounting, Big Stone being the most obvious recent example. Let us have deferred accounting until we can start to recover it. And the company could have, forget this case, let the appeal period run. The company could have come in and said, oh, okay, we got this order, so now let us have deferred accounting, please, while we figure it out in the rate case for these costs. There's about six or eight different ways this could get to the end, and they could get their money or some of it from the beginning or not. Which is what that sentence about the further proceedings is really talking about. The question is really, do you want to stop, go over that sentence, and figure it out in this case? In this case.
Can I ask the question that may or may not be relevant, but if they hadn't, how would this normally happen?
How would they normally get through this fuel cost adjustment?
But they normally would come in long before they entered into an agreement with a company. So that's where it goes back to. This is what Jerry's saying. Is
they do put these kinds of costs in the fuel adjustment, and there is a mechanism in our rules to challenge the fuel adjustment. staff challenge it. Mm-hmm. However, for NSP, they were ordered a couple of rate cases ago, to come in and ask for ADP, Advanced Determination of Prudence, on projects. Okay. I'm not real sure it covered. I suppose it did cover. I didn't go back and read the language. Purchases. But so they said that's why we're here, even though we could have put it in the fuel adjustment.
But the commission didn't say two rate cases ago that they should come in before they purchased or build. It just was assumed that you would come in for an ADP before you entered into agreement or before you built something. So this case, they came in for an ADP after it was already inked to have a deal. And that was part of the reason I was like, absolutely not. They're trying to pressure us to do an ADP on something, get the cost flowing before we ever get to look at the whole facts. And we dismissed it because it wasn't timely.
And we said, happen to have a rate case handy.
And we knew that. We knew that the rate case was filed prior to this decision being made. Now, if the rate case wouldn't have been filed, maybe we'd have gone a different way. Maybe we wouldn't have. But the point is it was filed, and this is where we're at.
I should add for the new commissioners, all of the things, even the simple no-brainer costs that are in fuel adjustments, are theoretically available for analysis, change, discussion in rate cases. Everything they're doing is up for discussion and decision in a rate case. Mm-hmm. And in the olden days, when it was as simple as how much coal you're going to put into the, how much fuel cost you're going to put into the fuel adjustment, you might put in half and let half in the base rates and let half run through the fuel adjustment. You might put in more, you might put in less. It's the same concept. It hasn't changed. It's just different kinds of costs coming through now.
So basically, the company, the commission has said, we may or may not allow these costs, but we're not going to do it until the rate case. We develop a thorough record.
Until some record.
The company doesn't like the possibility of the may not, and they want kind of assurance with one of these two mechanisms that there will be a way to recover those costs. Is that
not an assurance that the cost will be recovered, but if the commission were to decide that 1% of the cost could be recovered, they want assurance that the 1% would run from January.
Okay.
That's where the deferred account, if they collected ahead, they'd refund the other 99%. And if they did deferred accounting, they would eventually add that 1% from January till whenever.
Jerry's setup is good. It could be they end up a larger charge go to the customers that we could have leveled off now. It could go the other way.
We could still, without agreeing to that today, end up at that result through the rate case.
I think so. Pat?
Yes, I agree that we could end up with the same result.
It's just
after the commission considers everything and goes through the hearing, the commission could determine that the company could recover those costs from the beginning.
Absolutely. Randy's got something too.
I understand that Alana's correctly trying to keep us on point, but Mr. Chairman, I guess I just ask for a little indulgence in trying to see what the result is in a certain scenario. If we don't allow the costs to be factored in now and wait, and then ultimately if we did choose to allow them in a rate case. So now they're going to go back and pick this up.
Correct.
How do we typically do that to cause there not to be such a dramatic impact on the ratepayers? If they're picking up some old costs, do we try and limit it to a certain percentage of the average customer's bill per month, or just a certain number of months that they have to, no matter how dramatic the impact is? Or how do we do that?
Well, there's an interim rate that's laid out that I think, from my viewpoint, and then Jerry will clean it up for me, but an interim rate we'll vote on here tomorrow at some level. When it's all said and done, they're already collecting that interim rate this whole period of time. So when we get all done, there's many different factors that come in. So you try to level off whatever that increase, or it could be a decrease in the interim rate. We could give them this whole thing of this, but negotiate something else lower to where they get everything back in this wind farm, but they don't get something else they're trying to get. So you've actually decreased from your interim rate. So it's a lot of variables come into play.
And I think Brian's summing that up pretty good. We've got lots of things that we can do with it. Coming on, we could add it into the over-under recovery account in the fuel cost adjustment, which would cause the fuel cost adjustment to go up some. If it's a deferral, they can amortize it over a period of time that's negotiated in a rate case settlement, or else the commission can decide how long it's amortized for.
3 years, 5 years, whatever.
But in any case, it goes into the test year revenue requirement, whatever the amortization period is, and it is an upward pressure on the rates.
Mm-hmm. But it could be offset by some other reduction that's showing up in interim rates today, but maybe they're not going to deserve long term. So there's, yes, you're on point, and there's a lot of possibilities, and we look at all of it.
Customers are already going to be getting the motion tomorrow is an 8-something% increase as an interim rate as we deliberate this whole rate case. So that's
subject to refund.
Do we have the data to tell us what these costs would, how much would the fuel cost recovery increase the rates if we allowed it now?
We don't know.
For the wind farm.
Yeah, we don't know exactly. And we have some difficulty in that the numbers for the Geronimo contract are trade secret. So we're in a tough position. I think we could
if the numbers are
ask
secret,
the company to provide that later if they just give an estimate of the effect on the fuel cost adjustment. But in order to do that, they have to answer the question on are the volumes in or out.
And in order to do that, I think you have to answer the question whether you reconsider. Well, at least in this proceeding, I mean, a fuel adjustment filing is another proceeding.
I could give you a guess that I think it's probably a couple tenths of a cent per kilowatt hour. But that's just a guess.
Well, I mean, what's the sunset on this thing?
Well, Pat made a comment to me at the copy room that you might want to share, that I thought was pretty relevant before we came in.
When I view an advanced determination of prunes, to me it's separate from rate making. I've always thought that we shouldn't be doing any rate making when we do our advanced determination of prunes.
Say it's prudent
decisions.
Or not prudent.
Yeah, it's prudent or not prudent, and then you go to a different proceeding where you do the rate making. And at that point in time, you determine whether the expense and the investment and all that is reasonable and allowable. And so I like to keep the ADPs clean from rate making.
Well, and that's what I think I would agree, and I think the previous commission would agree too, that that's the way we'd love to see it. But this case from the get-go has been a mess because there was not the coming to us before they entered into agreement. But you're right, you make a determination it's prudent or not prudent, and then we hash it out later on in a rate case.
So, Brian, your question was drop-dead date?
It's like soon.
If it would run through the fuel cost adjustment, it would be in the March adjustment, so they'd need to make the filing in February.
No, but this appeal, this request for reconsideration has a 30-day period to where if we do nothing, it expires.
It's deemed denied. I think it's February 7th. I had it.
That's right.
Something like that. 30 days from the day they filed.
And then you put it back in the company's court that what they want to do. Then if they want to come in for deferred accounting, if they want to just let it go in the rate case, that's up to them.
Or if they want to appeal.
Or if they want to
appeal. That's when their appeal period runs.
Sure. Well, I know where I'm at. I'm very content to just let it sunset February 7th and go forward. It's tough to watch.
Procedurally. If that were the decision, what is it best to let something wait 10 days and then sunset, or just take an action? And
in previous
and deny,
times.
Or don't you typically do negative motions that deny something? Do you let them run out?
Well, I think you can do it any way you want. We've done both. We had a telephone appeal that we just let it go. I mean, I prefer to stay silent officially on things. I've already made my decision. I mean, I was sitting here. I knew what I wanted to do then, and I haven't heard anything different. So for me, this is what I see. Now, there is a time if we'd want to clarify something maybe, but for me personally, I'd just assume like this particular one just sunset.
I should tell you that if it if the date passes without any action, there will be like a letter that goes out from me. So there is something in
there is
the
an
record.
Letter.
Yeah. We did not do that once when we had a motion, a commissioner make a motion to grant a rehearing that died 2-1. And later in federal court, we had to produce the minutes of the admin meeting or something. You know, you had to have something that showed it didn't get done. Okay. And so from that lesson, we're sending out something so the parties know what that the time mm-hmm. has passed and their appeal period is running.
But in fairness to the company, is there a benefit to knowing one way or the other 10 days sooner as opposed to 10 days later so they can start doing whatever it is they might want
my
to
concern
do next?
Is, my concern is the ratepayers, not the company in this particular case. That's what I'll say about that one.
We're in a position to be reconsidering actions by the past commission that had a long time to think this through and look at it, and we got this. I didn't catch this or even get the initial information until yesterday, so I need more time.
That's fine. You have
to look through it. I'm not saying I'm all that interested in reopening number 10, but I can't. I don't feel comfortable saying no right now. I'm not there. I don't understand it well enough. So
that's okay.
That's the point of the work session, is to see where we're at.
Mm-hmm. We could schedule another one.
Mm-hmm. So sorry if I'm holding things up, but
no,
I don't.
Like,
I just don't have enough information right now.
So I think that's the point of it. If it daylighting out, we don't need to make any decisions today because I'm completely content to do nothing.
Yeah. Right.
So that's where it's an interesting quandary. So, but I guess that as a commission, though, we probably, if we would like to schedule another work session, I'm fine to do that. Or if, Julie, if you would just want to spend time. Because we had this very similar case when Bonnie got here. When Commissioner Fetch got here, she was right smack dab in the middle of this CapEx 20 line. It was a very, very tough decision. And we got to a point where I knew where I was at. Commissioner Kramer knew where he was at. And Bonnie was a swing vote. So we basically just put it on hold till she had a chance to get up to speed. Then when she got to where she was comfortable, she came in and we voted and the line was approved and off we go. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's kind of where, you know, I think that we could do this a lot of different ways. I mean, how would you, Randy, where are you at right now? How do you want to proceed?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if the resolution to this were to take an action, I would vote right now to deny. However, if we're not going to take an action to deny at any point, and it was just to let it play itself out. I'm not real experienced in this stuff either, and so I would certainly have an open mind if Julie finds something that makes a very compelling case. I'm not saying my mind couldn't be changed on that.
That's fair. Okay.
But at this point, I guess I'm inclined to deny it.
Well, then let's do this then. Julie, how about you do whatever research you want to do, and if you feel that you find something that you would like to bring back up with your colleagues, then we would then schedule a work session.
Okay.
And we'll just let it sit that way. That sound reasonable?
Sounds good.
Sound reasonable to you?
Very good.
Okay. Fair enough. Any going thoughts?
Oh, thanks.
Okay. All right. With that, we'll close the work session on case number. Case number PU 112059. Thank you very much.
No, I just want them to know what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Yep. I'm fine with whatever decision is comes.
Turn it off.